Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The game on lock for sure.
Warriors, come out to play.
I mean, it's a regular season game, but at the same time, I do think it's different. I mean, it's just, everything that they've done and how good of a team they are, you know, it's gonna be a fun challenge for us.
I love it. Be transparent, Al Horford. It's a regular season game, but it's not. Welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, Celtics tonight at the Garden. It is the Celtics who have won five straight games now, as they should have, because they played some terrible competition their last game coming Wednesday night against that wretched Cavaliers team. The Warriors have won nine straight, and I think it's fair to say that this is going to be two teams taking stock of each other. The Celtics have seemingly turned things around. I don't know, like hopefully, knock on wood, that they have. I think that this would be a massive positive for them tonight to win this game. They've been good competition for this team in recent years, even going to the Bridgie Celtics with Isaiah Thomas. Like, they've been hyper-competitive against the Warriors. They've been a good test for them. And I think that you can use this as a litmus test for the Celtics tonight. And it should live up to the hype. It typically had, well, the one here last year didn't, but... I think you're going to get a hell of a game tonight because they've, you know, managed the roster correctly, I think, this week, and resting Al Horford on Wednesday night. Kyrie Irving had the flu, in theory.
The Cavaliers flu. The you stink Cavaliers flu.
No player is on the injury report as of yesterday. They're going to be ready to go, fully loaded. It does, again, feel, hopefully, like they've figured things out behind the scenes and there's not as much bitching, but... I don't know. I do expect a playoff feel at the Garden tonight when they tip off at 8:30, a little after 8:30.
Yeah, I do too. And look, I mean, I think you sort of had it last year. Remember last year's game was sort of the Jaylen Brown game. You know, he sort of seized the moment there. And Steph Curry, I was at the game, you know, said afterwards basically, oh, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we're back here in June. Almost, not quite. But I think these are two teams that sort of, as you said, will take the measure of each other. I think it's a statement game for the Celtics, for them to prove that, forget about being the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference right now. They are a true contender. They're on the level of a championship team. They're on the level of the Warriors. They're a real threat, not only to win the East, but to give the Warriors a series. So, I mean, I think this is a really meaningful game for the Celtics. And then I think for the Warriors, now they have Boogie Cousins back. I mean, it almost seems unfair. They've won nine in a row. But I think there are very few regular season. I think the Warriors get bored during the regular season. I don't think there are a lot of regular season games that for them are compelling or exciting. This is one of them. I think you're going to see their best because this is like, okay, these guys might be able to give us a game. Let's see what this is all about. And look, the Warriors have had their own issues with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and all the rumors that Kevin Durant is not long for Golden State, that he's going to bounce. And that there could be some hurt feelings there. Draymond Green was the one who recruited him, really.
I mean, their first couple of months felt as broken as it did here.
It did. You know? It did. You know, it completely did. But now, man, they're rolling. And again, like I said, to have Cousins back, it seems like it's almost unfair.
Yeah, it does feel like they're hitting their stride and, you know, they're just crushing opponents during this nine-game win streak. So I'm with you on this. I don't think you're going to get a... The Warriors in these recent years, there's been lulls here, and especially to begin the beginning of this year, I think that there's been real issues behind the scenes there. But I think that they're also, you know, going to take this as a potential finals preview. This is a big game, national TV, Saturday night, 8:30 tip. They're going to show up tonight too, and that's why. Like, I think you're going to get a real finals type feel for this.
I mean, that's
one.
What we hope. Yeah. I mean, certainly that's the game that we hope to see, you know. And again, I think this will be an interesting game for the Celtics in terms of working out their issues because this is one of those games where everybody wants to show up and show out. And are guys going to accept their roles? Or if it's not going well, are you going to see guys pressing? Is Jason Tatum going to say, okay, I got to take this thing over at this point? Is Jaylen Brown going to look at the way he played last year and said, I need to insert myself here. I need to establish myself in this game. Or are they going to stick together and sort of play cohesive basketball and look at it feel out the game, see how it goes, and say, okay, it's this guy's night. Like, maybe it's Gordon Hayward's night, you know, and will they allow that to happen, or are they going to press and everybody's going to try and, you know, show that they're on the level of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Boogie Cousins?
There's been times with Hayward where he's felt like, to me, he's been force-fed into that starting lineup.
In the beginning.
Do you think that in recent weeks that he's made improvements? Do you think he's come around, at least from a mental standpoint? Because we've had flashes
yeah.
against Minnesota a couple of times where it's okay, 30-point games. It's yeah. like he's figured it out, and then there's, you know, a dip again. Hayward's play as of late.
Well, there's a story on ESPN that I read this morning, and it still seems like he is at a point where he's trying not to get frustrated, but also he's just sort of mentally come to the realization that just being out there is sort of an accomplishment at this point, coming back from the injury. And I think he's, for lack of a better term, settled for that for now. And still hopeful he can obviously get back to being the player that he was before. But I think he realizes it's going to be a little harder and a little longer road than he thought. And so reading some of the quotes in this Tim Bontem story, you know, it's he basically says, oh, I have to remind myself that I'm lucky to be out there and stuff like that. So when I read stuff like that, I think that it might not be until April, May, June that we get some sort of consistency from him, some sort of approximation to what he used to be. It might not be at all. We might have to wait till next year.
It seems like the rotations have settled for Brad Stevens, but do you maybe see any lineup tweaks tonight? Who gets Curry? Is it automatically going to be Kyrie on him for most of the night defensively, you think?
I mean, I would probably want to dog him with Marcus Smart a little bit. The Celtics traditionally have done a pretty good job against the Warriors, particularly on Curry and Thompson, you know, closing down airspace on those guys, not letting them get to their spots, you know, forcing them to maybe handle it more than they want to. Curry has great handle. You know, Klay Thompson, what do you have, that 44-point game, like four dribbles or something like that this year? So he wants to catch and shoot for the most part. The Celtics have done a good job of defending those guys in the past. And I would expect you'll see a really engaged Celtics team defensively, which has not always been the case this season, as we know. I think tonight would be one of those nights where everybody should be engaged and connected defensively.
I want to get your thoughts on the other big story that happened in terms of the East this week, and it's a shame because I love watching them play. Victor Oladipo, the Pacers, non-contact injury, yeah. out for the season, ruptured quad tendon in his knee, which yep. I think is above the knee. Either way, awful injury. What's it mean for the East playoff race, as it at least pertains to the Celtics? It feels like, you know, that's it. You can
one less team you have to worry about. I'd say it's the Pacers had inserted themselves into it where you had to take them legitimately. I still thought that even though they were ahead of the Celtics in the standings, that they were behind the Celtics in the pecking order of the East. But that would be another potential playoff opponent that wouldn't, you know, be a real grind, I think, at this point. So it's Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia and the Celtics. That's sort of the core four of the East.
Let's go to you, 617-779-0985. Big one for the Celtics tonight as they welcome in the reigning champion Golden State Warriors. You're going tonight. You're going to be loud, right? Like, it should feel like the finals there tonight, at least for this one. I mean, it's not often that a regular season game you can get super up for. There's usually more a handful or so in a season. Tonight is one of those. Thank God, because that Cleveland Cavaliers game on Wednesday night was mostly worthless. Brett Moister, you're first up here in the Sports Hub Celtic Show today. Hey, Brett.
Hey, what's up, man? Just wanted to say to both of you guys, you're great for the station all around.
Oh, hey, thanks.
Appreciate that.
Hey, not a problem. So you mentioned Isaiah Thomas earlier. You know, we really don't hear a lot about him. I know he's hurt. I know he's been hurt since the trade. My question for you guys is, from the ability to win the game standpoint, do you really think that Kyrie Irving has filled Isaiah Thomas's shoes in that sense? Thank you. I'll listen.
This season he has. I mean, you know, I went overboard with a lot of the IT and Bridgie Celtic stuff only because I felt like that team hit his ceiling and it annoyed the hell out of me how a lot of fans like overrated him. But that's my own issue. I've been wrong there. At least you got max effort night to night. No, Kyrie's it. You want to chant MVP for Kyrie? That's you have a legitimate cause. Like, he's been at an unbelievable level these last few weeks.
Yeah, no, he has.
So, he has filled in, especially as a closer.
I mean, just the last four games. I mean, he's shooting 60% from the field and 56% from three. I mean, that's absurd. He's definitely turned it up. I think that the difference with IT is that there was more of a – I think there were more guys that were willing to defer to him, and it was a clear pecking order offensively, and it was like, hey, we need this guy to do this to win, to bail us out. And so I think it's a little different with Kyrie. You know, Kyrie's obviously going to get his shots, but there's still other guys that want to get their shots up too and want to do their thing. So I think it's sort of difficult to gauge that. But I do think maybe we sort of forget just how clutch IT was when he was here.
Sure.
I mean, he was a very, very clutch player and a great closer. And I go back to that the game against the Wizards, the playoff series a couple of years ago, 53-point game. I mean, man, he was electric in that game. So I do think we tend to undersell him a little bit. But closing, not an issue for Kyrie.
No, I mean, go back to in this run here, those because they played some real bum teams. The Hawks game in Atlanta.
How about the Toronto game? How about the 30-foot three-pointer?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's against
over Kawhi Leonard. But, like, that's just ridiculous.
But on a second night of a back-to-back and a game that they should win, but the Hawks have been okay since the end of December. But still, like, they're neck and neck with that stupid team for most of the night. And then in the fourth quarter, you could tell it was like, okay, just give it to Kyrie. Like, let him win this game. So, yes, he's filled in admirably, I think, in that role as a closer. Okay, let's hear from you. Tonight's game, Celtics, Warriors, your thoughts. You look at it as a measuring stick, 617-779-0985. Also want to get more insight on tonight's matchup from Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. We'll talk to Forsberg next here at the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, the home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Celtics have always played the Warriors well, dating to when Isaiah Thomas was there. Look, they're built the right way to play the Warriors. They have a center, Al Horford, who's fast. He can switch and shoot threes. They got a bunch of wings that can switch everything and one guard who can light it up, has experience playing against the Warriors. Can they get to the Warriors level? No, all they need is like two of the top three players in the league and three other stars. That's all. That's all it takes to get to the Warriors level. No one is on their level.
ESPN Zach Lowe on the Celtics and Warriors. Tonight, TD Garden, big matchup. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, have the call here on 98.5 Sports Hub, a tip-off a little after 8:30. Before we get to Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, I want to remind you that the second annual ping-pong tournament, Patrice Bergeron and Touchman Rich presenting Pucks and Paddles, benefits the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Bruins Foundation, happening Thursday, February 7th at Royale Boston, right around the corner. You can bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Touchman Rich, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, and Zoe. VIP tickets, they're sold out. But you can still get general admission tickets for just $50. If you want information and to buy tickets to Pucks and Paddles 2, go to 98.5thesportshub.com. Chris Forsberg is the one that knows all the sports. Hey, Forsberg.
What's up? What's going on?
Not too much. So you're joining us here on the, let me get the name of the hotline. What is it? Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Sorry about that, Forsberg. I had to have a more formal introduction for you.
That's great.
Tonight, Celtics, Golden State Warriors, even going back to what I referred to as the Bridgie Celtics with Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, they have always competed very well against the Steph Curry Golden State Warriors. I expect another good matchup tonight. But overall, is this game a real measuring stick for this team and where they're at right now?
Yeah, like, listen, I don't get too hyped up for regular season games, but I think it's fair to be, like, jacked and pumped about this one because both of the teams are starting to play really well. I think the Celtics sort of need a measuring stick game to sort of gauge where they're at because, you know, we saw this back in December, right? They ripped off 8 straight wins, and then Milwaukee came to town, and they got smushed, and then there's a player-only meeting or the player meeting after the game. And so they need a little bit of a litmus test right now, and I do think they've shown better than that previous stretch, and they've beaten better competition. But I still want to see where they measure up with the best team in the NBA. And, like, that's not even a question at this point because now with DeMarcus Cousins, the Warriors are just on another level, and which we didn't even think that was possible for them to go to even another level. But, I think this is a really good timing for a showdown with the best team in the NBA, and I want to see how the Celtics compete.
Chris, do you feel like all the drama for the Celtics in terms of Kyrie's leadership style and the young guys being the fall guys, is that all behind them, or will that sort of pop up again if they lose this game and go into a little bit of a spiral afterwards?
Yeah, I was going to say, if they get throttled tonight, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's all of a sudden like, all right, what's wrong now? You know, it's I don't think it necessarily goes away, but certainly winning masks a lot of things. I think, you know, that goes for, like, Golden State, too. I don't think anyone sits there and says, oh, it's all sunshine and puppy dogs over there, that, like, Draymond and Durant are best friends again after their little flare-up earlier in the year. But when you win and when you have the talent to be a championship contender, those things just aren't as big of a deal. And so if the Celtics can figure out how to keep winning and everyone starts to play and embraces their roles, I don't think that'll be too much of an issue. But certainly if they sputter again or things just, you know, go off the rails for some reason, it's going to bubble back up. And, you know, maybe they'll be better equipped to handle it. Like, you know, Kyrie probably won't be so quick to say, oh, it's on the young guys. And but, you know, I could see a scenario where people start looking at Gordon Hayward and say, you know, when is he going to finally find that consistency? Or there'll be little storylines that they'll have to deal with through the rest of the season. But certainly that when you're winning, those things are just sort of on the back burner a little bit.
As you point out in your column at NBCSportsBoston.com, again, talking to Chris Forsberg here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, the root of the Celtics' success against the Warriors can be traced back to 2016. And since the start of the 15-16 season, Warriors' regular season record of 232-62, it's ridiculous, 789 winning percentage. But the Celtics 3-3 against them in that span, and they're the only team in the league that doesn't have a losing record against them. Does it really just start and end with the defense, and specifically with Marcus Smart and his ability to frustrate and annoy this team?
Yeah, and like, I mean, Avery Bradley certainly helped initially there too, having two really good perimeter guys who can make things difficult for both Steph and Clay, but particularly Steph. Like, I think that's always been sort of the game plan. It's like, really make him work to get his points. He's going to have his little burst, but he's had a couple rough performances. Now, that being said, the last time they were out there at Golden State, him and Kyrie got into a little bit of a duel, and they couldn't kind of calm him down. So it's not like they've been bulletproof against Steph or anything like that, but I do think they're built well, even in that initial iteration where, you know, like I was looking back at that 2016 box score and they had Jared Sullinger's your big man. And, you know, not to say that he was on the level of Al Horford defensively, but, you know, he was a big guy who had the ability to stretch the floor and move around. And, you know, they've always sort of matched up well based on their ability to defend. And now as they've sort of morphed their roster, you know, you've added more size, more versatility in guys like Jaylen and Jason Tatum, even with his length. And so they just tend to make things difficult for the Warriors. It's not like they're the only team in the league that has some versatility and some defensive talent. But for whatever reason, I think they do match up well. I think they also just get amped for it. And I think a lot of teams, not that they come in and say, like, you know, we got no chance against the Warriors, but I do think it's daunting. I think it's easy for teams to get mentally taken out of games early, especially if the Warriors get going. I think with that win back at Oracle, busting that streak, and just it sort of told these guys, like, all right, hang in there, weather the storm. Like, you can beat this team if you play 48 full minutes and you're mentally tough. And even as the roster has changed over, I feel like that sort of stayed with this team with, you know, whether it's a guy like Marcus being here or the coaching staff being the same. And, you know, I feel like, even going into tonight, you know, there's like a quiet confidence about this team that they feel like they can go out there and compete with the Warriors.
I think one of the guys that is sort of key to this tonight, and it's really more on the defensive end, is Terry Rozier. And obviously he had a great game against the Cleveland Cavaliers the other night, but I mean, that's what happens when he gets to start. Do you see anything, Chris, in terms of him being able to translate some of the performances he has when he starts into smaller sample sizes and smaller minutes?
Yeah, I don't know. Offensively, it might still be a grind because I just think it's really hard for him to wrap his head around trying to be like efficient on less shots. And I just think he does stress a little bit more. But I think what we saw was, you know, in this stretch of where they've played well, he's really embraced sort of picking it up defensively. He's picked up full court a few times, not every possession, but they like to throw a little curveball in there. You know, that's a real luxury when you got someone who does quick, as athletic as Terry, and you can disperse him, especially against, like, you know, when they got the reserves on the court, to really pester the ball. And when you're out there with Jaylen and Hayward, you've still got good defenders and Baines. You know, that second unit has really good potential to maintain the level of defense that is out there on the first unit. So, like, Terry can be a game changer in that regard. Now, he's got to not get frustrated if his shot's not falling or if he's not getting shots. But if he buys into the idea that he changes games with his intensity on the defensive side and maybe gets a few runouts off steals, stuff like that, he can settle into that backup role a little bit more than we've seen. But certainly, like,
I feel like we bring him up every week, and it's fair. Like, you know, I do think he's sort of key to this whole thing, both him and Jalen and Gordon, that whole bench. Like, if they can eventually get those guys to buy in, that this team just goes to another level, because teams can't really match that depth, but they have to be impactful, and we just haven't seen that consistently this season.
Brad's rotations have seemingly settled here for a bit, Chris, but do you expect to see any tweaks for tonight's game?
I could see him tighten it up a little bit, even though they're coming off of all these days off and they've got a busy stretch after this. You do tend to narrow it down a little bit in big games. Maybe you go 8-9 instead of 10-11. Like, I don't necessarily think, unless they hit a bump in the road early, they'll throw Wanamaker out there, which isn't a reflection on him. He's actually been great when they've thrown him in there.
Right.
But this is the sort of game where you probably try to keep that rotation pretty tight. You know, I'll be interested to see how much they use Baines. You can throw him in there and let him battle with DeMarcus a little bit and maybe ease the load on Al, but you do like Al's versatility there to chase him out to the three-point line. And so that'll be a little bit of a cat-and-mouse game there. But, it will be interesting to see how many minutes that they give those bench guys, Rozier and Hayward and Brown. Like, how much time can you give them? Like, Kyrie, this is one of those games where he's going to want to play 35, 36 minutes instead of the 32 that they hardest him to. So, I wouldn't be surprised if Brad really leans on the starters here, especially given all the time off, especially considering that, you know, Kyrie and Al got the day off on Wednesday. There's no reason they shouldn't really be able to lean heavy on that starting group.
It just to piggyback off of Jim's question about the road, is this a Shemmy game? Like, will we see him for, 8 minutes? 5 minutes?
I wouldn't mind it. Like, I'm always fascinated when Brad sort of deploys him. Like, if you have enough confidence in Shemmy that you can put him out there in Game 7 against Giannis and feel confident he's going to shut him down, like, why not lean on him more? This is one of those games where, if you watch the Wizards-Warriors the other night and Boogie was just, like, eating up Decker, and I'm thinking, what is Scott Brooks doing? This is probably not the night you want to go heavy on Tice. And so maybe you get someone with a little bit more versatility and flexibility. Like, if you're going to go small, I could see some Shemmy minutes there. I think in general, it's a really neat luxury to have a guy like that you can just throw in there and know that he's going to give you hard defense and be able to match up against bigger, stronger guys and not be a liability. I will be curious if they can find time for him. But again, I think with the crunch rotation, my gut would say it'd be tough to find a spot unless you need a real defensive jolt there to, someone to like pick up Draymond or stuff. But you got Marcus Morris and guys that can do that job as well.
All right, Chris, before we let you go, so I expect the Warriors to make this a kind of a statement game as well with the way that they've been rolling, especially since Boogie Cousins has joined the lineup. If they win tonight, right, do you expect there to be more, I guess from a national standpoint, more grousing of like, they broke the league, like this has to be fixed?
Yeah, of course. And just if the Celtics win, we're going to all sit here and overreact and say, oh, their early season struggle, they're behind them, like it's no big deal, like, they're going to figure it out, they're not even playing their best, and looking at this team, they're going to be in the finals. But yeah, certainly, like, if the Warriors come out and roll, it's just going to be a stream of tears with people crying about how there's, no chance for anybody to compete this year. And especially with the West being as dilapidated as it is, like, there's good teams, but like, when you look at the West right now, does anyone think that there's going to be like anyone like the Rockets who can push them quite as much as they did last year? Yeah.
I'm buying the Nuggets. I'm not going to lie. With Jokic, I'm buying the Nuggets, man. They have some depth. And my boy Malik Beasley getting a little run.
I've been bullish on both the Bucks and the Nuggets, and then there are nights where I watch and I'm just like, all right, I need to tone it down. I don't know if these teams are as good. Like, I feel like those are the sort of teams that they're really good in the regular season, and then maybe they get to the playoffs and things get a little bit more difficult, and I don't know if they're built for that. But like, listen, if the Nuggets get IT back and IT is anywhere, like, can give them anything, like, that's a really intriguing team. And Jokic has been just ridiculous. That he's not an all-star starter is almost bothersome. But, listen, the West is loaded. So, I don't know. It'll be fascinating. It'll be full of overreactions after whatever happens tonight.
All right. Enjoy the game tonight. Chris Forsberg, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at @ChrisForsberg_ and read his stuff at NBCSportsBoston.com. And, of course, see him always looking dapper on NBC Sports Boston. Have fun, Chris, tonight. Take care. Chris Forsberg again joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. I promise we'll get right to your call. See you hanging here. I actually have a couple open lines. You want to join us here. Talk Seas and Warriors tonight at the Garden, 617-779-0985. But right to your calls right after the Sports Hub headlines with Tim McComb.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nobody's beating the Golden State Warriors in a best of seven. But do I think there are a couple of teams that can potentially push it to a seven-game series? Yes, I do. Oh. And I think they're both in the Eastern Conference. There's nobody in the West that can do it. But I think in the Eastern Conference, it is the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics. Boston and Toronto is a different ballgame because of their length, their athleticism, and their ability and willingness to defend. So I'd say because of it, I would still pick Golden State. But I do believe there are games, particularly on the road in Boston, in Toronto, where things could be a headache for Golden State. I could see those series going seven games against Golden State.
Oh, so despite the struggle, Stephen A. Smith, first take on ESPN, still very bullish about the Celtics' chances.
As they believer.
Met with the Golden State Warriors in the finals ahead of tonight's big game.
I have a quick question for you. What do you think it would be like to talk and just have inflection on every word?
It would be exhausting, Chris.
Like, you know, there's
but it
no,
works for him.
There's
made
no particular word you're stressing because you're stressing all of them.
I'm just sitting here doing a radio show.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it would be exhausting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's an interesting cadence.
Your guys' thoughts on tonight's game, 617-779-0985. Let's hear from you here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. We'll go longest order await. Nate in Quincy wants to talk about Gordon Hayward. Hey, Nate.
Hey, guys. So, Gasper, you brought up an article earlier about Gordon Hayward commenting on, you know, his current status as a player and how he's just fortunate to play. And this is going to sound cynical, but it bothered me, that comment, simply because of I looked at, like, the list of, you know, NBA player salaries this year. And for the 2018 to 2019 season, I'm not sure if this has been brought up, but Gordon Hayward is currently the sixth highest paid player in the league. And he's our sixth man coming off the bench. So my question to you guys is, should the Celtics' goal be bringing him back into the starting lineup, or should us Celtics fans be content with the sixth highest paid player in the league coming off the bench? I understand, you know, he's had been going through this injury, but he's been he has nights where he looks good. So I'm over it. I'm over, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt. You know, one night he scores 30, the next night he's just shooting 4 for 10 or whatever. So yeah. I just want to know what your guys' perspective is. Should a Celtics fan be content with, you know, Gordon Hayward coming off the bench?
I mean, I think you should be content with him coming off the bench because regardless of what his salary is, he's not Gordon Hayward. He's not the Gordon Hayward who earned that contract at this point. And to me, the issue in the beginning of the year was when he was starting, they were treating him like that player when he was not. And this Tim Bontemps story, if you read it, there's a couple of lines in there that caught my eye. And I can pull them out, you know, later on in the Sports Hub Celtics show if you want me to. But basically, allusions to frustration from the young guys over Hayward getting playing time earlier in the season when he wasn't quite, you know, himself. Now, he has progressed. He's been better than he was those first 15 games. But regardless of the salary, you know, he's not the same guy right now from a physical standpoint. And you can't just put him in the starting lineup. You can't have that kind of deference to him because I honestly think at the beginning of the year, that was like the root of the issue, was that he was playing pretty much, you know, I joked about it, but it was Brad Stevens obviously has a very unique relationship with Gordon Hayward going all the way back to Butler and recruiting him, you know, in Indiana when he came out of high school and he was really, you know, sort of more accomplished as a tennis player and all that.
And he picked him up at Logan in the Prius.
and so it was one of those, it had a little bit of a feeling of, you know, little Gordy's going to play no matter what. And I think that that was an issue. And they finally got away from that. So I'd hate to see him go back to that.
Bob in Quincy on tonight's game, Celtics and Warriors at the Garden. Hey, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. So first thing I want to do is commend you guys on that Warriors clip from the movie. That was rolling me. That was so funny.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
Awesome stuff. And great stuff with Chris there on the analysis with the Celtics. It was really interesting information he had. But what I wanted to talk about also was I've been overall very disappointed with the Celtics this year. This game is much bigger for the Celtics than it is for the Warriors. But even if they win, even if they're competitive in the game, if they don't start mopping up these lesser teams and getting some traction in the standings, it really doesn't matter. They need to take care of business on other games, not just get up for the big teams. That's my take.
Oh, no doubt, Bob. Look, there's been more than a handful of infuriating losses to lesser competition this year. Orlando, twice here and there, that Knicks game before Thanksgiving. Like, there's been some that have just been, you know, not head-scratchers. You just want to put your head in the oven. They feel like they've righted the ship here, but we've had this kind of run before. And then, you know, there's been a couple of losses, and it all seemingly goes to hell again. I'd like to think that they've righted the ship here, and now the East is, you know, you're going to see the standings change, what with this injury to Victor Oladipo and what's happened to the Pacers. They're going to drop like a stone. They'll probably still be in playoff contention, but the Celtics should rise a bit. But, no, I think they could certainly build off what they're doing here, and with a win tonight, they can really get rolling.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I mean, to me, I almost want to see, you know, I want them to win the game, obviously, but the real test for me will be how they respond
if they lost,
if they lose. Nail-biter. Yeah, because I think the issues have arisen when they've lost, and I've talked about this before on the Sports Hub Celtics show. You need to have some consistency and equanimity with your team in terms of how you respond to success and how you respond to setbacks. And I feel like when they're successful, that they're too high. When they lose, there's too much finger pointing. And again, you know, we're media members, we're fans. It's okay for us to ride the emotional roller coaster, but teams that do that normally do not succeed over the long haul.
Steve in Medford, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, well, Gasper kind of touched on my point, and my main question was how important this game is. And I'm not going to go as far to say it's must win. You guys kind of already talked about it. But, yeah, my concern, I agree with Chris, is if they lose, say if they get blown out, I'm really starting to get nervous about the confidence level of these guys, especially, you know, with Tatum and Brown Rozier, like the young guys. Because I'm not really nervous about Kyrie, because you know Kyrie's going to come to play every game. But I'm really nervous that if they get blown out by 20 or 30, which I don't think they will. I think they're going to win tonight. I think they're going to come up and step up and play. But I'm really nervous how those guys are going to react to, you know, if they get blown out tonight. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, it almost sounds like, Chris, there's part of you that maybe wants to see this to see how they react, like Steve was saying.
Not blown out, but I mean, if they lose a close game, and let's say it's a close game. They're up in the fourth quarter, and they lose the lead. They get one last shot, and that shot is not taken by Kyrie Irving. What's the mood in the locker room afterwards?
Oh, I mean, if it's like how it was in Orlando, what now, a few weeks back, and it's finger-pointing all over again, like you can start maybe calling this a lost season. Like, granted, I called that to the Patriots season in December, and I couldn't have been more wrong, and I have egg on my face, and I'm glad I do. But that would be a massive red flag.
I agree. That's what I'm telling you. I think it would be a massive red flag. And so, again, I want them to win the game, but I think, honestly, we'd learn more about them if they lost it. You know, how do they respond? Do they really fix all this stuff? You know, does Kyrie really believe that Jaylen Brown was right and that he can't run these guys down and, you know, can't sort of give him the Uncle Drew young blood, you know, that he can't do that anymore? I don't know. I think you would learn that if they lost. I think if they win, you know, it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows, which it's been. And that's my biggest question about this team and what's different to me from other Brad Stevens teams. Though, and I think Brad's touched on it too, and I think he touched on it after the Toronto game. How do you respond to adversity? I don't think this team has responded well to adversity this year, and they haven't responded as well to adversity as we're accustomed to seeing a Brad Stevens coach Celtics team respond.
All right, more of your calls. We'll get to these as it relates to the Celtics coming up next here in our final segment of the Sports Hub Celtics show. You just made a Uncle Drew reference.
Yes.
You were telling me during the commercial break you finally saw this terrible movie.
Yeah, I saw it.
And you think that there's, you know, maybe Kyrie has bought into that character a little bit too much after you've watched this on your flight back from Kansas City that took you 5 days to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
So I want you to expound on that. And here's this other thing, too. We know that there's been a thaw in the icy relationship between Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, right? Based on Kyrie calling LeBron and asking him, how do I reach these kids? But is LeBron James now courting Kyrie to come to Los Angeles via Instagram? We have audio to play for you next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Press rewind, 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 rewind,
Okay. So if you haven't seen this yet, that's the sound of LeBron James yesterday posting on Instagram.
I thought he was killing a cat.
An Instagram story singing Rewind, Rewind, and he tags Kyrie Irving in the story, at Kyrie Irving, this, that joint. It's LeBron in his car singing along to what I have found out is Fetty Wap's Rewind. You know, Fetty Wap, he was born with glaucoma, has one eye, had like a couple of hits. Either way, if you look at the lyrics of this song, Rewind by Fetty Wap. Rewind, rewind, baby, rewind, rewind. Yeah, I know you're with him, the Celtics, now, but soon you will be mine. If I could bring it back, I'll probably press rewind. Again, why did he tag Kyrie? At Kyrie Irving, this, that joint. We've had the thaw here. Kyrie calls LeBron a couple of weeks ago. How do I reach these kids? All these young players that he despises. So there's a thaw here. Now they don't hate each other. Now you have LeBron James serenading Kyrie Irving via Instagram. Rewind, my friend. Soon you'll be gone from the Celtics, and soon we'll rewind and put it all together. Clearly, I read too much into social media posts by professional athletes and famous people, but you know, this is what I do. It's a gift. I can't. It's a burden, really. I've been born with this. I can't help it. That's how I read this. Maybe it's innocuous. Maybe it's nothing, but I see this, and it's like all of a sudden, it's all good between LeBron and Kyrie. What, he's trying to get him to L.A.? I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it does sort of seem like he's courting him. You know, as you said, I mean, it's, you know, I think LeBron's going to be in all-out recruitment mode, obviously, this summer. Whoever wants to come and join him there, whether it's Kyrie, Klay Thompson.
He's having dinner with Anthony Davis a few weeks back.
Kawhi. I mean, obviously, Anthony Davis would have to be a trade. But, I mean, it was a really star-studded free agent class in the NBA. So, you know, maybe he feels like, you know, this is a time he can sort of court Kyrie, because Kyrie's realized that maybe he doesn't really want his own team. Maybe he wants to co-headline a team. And that's sort of the easiest thing to do. So, I don't know. You know how I feel. I mean, I've said from the jump.
Until the ink's dry.
Yeah, until the ink's dry. I mean, a lot can happen through the course of a season. And I think Kyrie was sincere and genuine in what he said the night he said it. But I also don't think he's someone that's going to be held hostage by something that he said, you know, 9 months earlier. If he feels like the right decision for him is to go somewhere else, then I think he's going to do that. He's not going to be beholden to something he felt at the time. And what were the Kevin Love comments, you know, this week? Pretty much like, you know, just when you think you have Kyrie figured out, he goes in the other direction.
Rewind.
Just saying.
Rewind, come to
Oh, by the way, it wasn't Kevin Love from, wasn't the story that when Kyrie called LeBron James was having dinner with Kevin Love in L.A.?
That is correct. Hmm. He's trying to put the band back together. Keep an eye on this until that ink's dry. Nothing is set in stone here. You also had a bit of an epiphany. You got around to watching Kyrie's terrible movie, Uncle Drew, when you were flying back from Kansas City. And what is that epiphany, Chris?
No, I mean, it's just interesting. You know, the character of Uncle Drew is this basketball purist, and sort of his whole thing is the game's not played the right way, and every other word is young blood, you got to respect to get young blood. You know, Uncle Drew just, you know, like a typical old person, hates all young people. And so I feel like, you know, Kyrie might have adopted this persona a little bit of play the right way, and young guys don't know how to play the game, and you need experience. You know, he now obviously, look, the movie was done before he came, you know, to the Celtics, so we should have seen this like last year. But I wonder if in the back of his head, or just somewhere subconsciously, some of this Uncle Drew character is still in there, in terms of, you know, young guys messing it up and young guys not appreciating the game or playing the game the right way, and that's the problem, because that's literally the whole movie.
Yeah, life imitating art with Kyrie Irving. I know I've finally reached that point. I kind of knew I was teetering, but now it's official. Have you watched the Fyre Festival documentaries yet?
No.
Oh, no. If you want to hate millennials, watch those movies, because the whining and the pompous attitudes and their fake jobs. Like, I'm a social media influencer. It's not a real job. That was my bigger takeaway. Like, I hated everyone in that documentary, save for the Islanders, who all got screwed by those people. Oh,
no,
those
I have to watch this.
Oh, but it'll make you the most mad.
But I do think social media influencer is a real job.
Yeah, maybe for certain people, like, okay, you hit the genetic jackpot, you were born that way, you do a lot of squats, you get a great ass, okay, you're making money like hawking products. But for anyone else, like, let me take care of your company. Like, I got hired by a big company to be their social media influencer. Like, oh, God. It rubs me so the wrong way. And now, because I'm an old, I am a shake my fist at the clouds angry old guy now. I am. And
I didn't want to bring this up, man. And I did enjoy the Warriors reference. But I was like, I know there's at least half our listenership that was, they have no idea. Like, they think that's just something that, like, you recorded at your house. They don't know that's from an actual movie.
Yeah, and because New York now, and has been for about 25 years, it's like a corporate retail Disneyland.
It's been sanitized.
Yeah, it's been sanitized. And back in the 70s, it was a violent, scary hellhole.
Oh, yeah, that was right. Yeah. Who was it? Who was it? Was it Ford? What was the famous thing? Ford tells New York, go to hell?
Yeah. Yeah. You had the police unions putting out those flyers all over the subway and throughout the city, just like with the skull. It said, like, death once you come to New York City. Oh, yeah, no. I don't get it. Well, that's who you old people. I'm a social media influencer. I'm going to start the fire festival and steal all this money from these poor islanders. It just, that was my true tipping point. Like, oh no, you know, it's official. I hate everyone who's young. A couple more Celtics calls here before we wrap up. Sammy, Celtics and Warriors tonight. What do you think?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
I was just wondering if, like, what you guys think of if Aaron Baines should come into the starting lineup to guard DeMarcus Cousins, because I don't know if Al Horford is going to be able to stay with him, or in this, I think the starting lineup is going to do a good job tonight, but in the bench, he should step up. All right, I'll let you guys talk about it. Thanks.
Yeah, I would stick with Horford. I think it'd be a little harder for Baines to step out when DeMarcus Cousins steps out, and that could be an issue. I think Horford's actually a pretty good matchup for Boogie Cousins if he's healthy. I haven't seen a ton. I'll be honest. I just have not seen a ton of the Warriors with Boogie at this point. It seems like he's been passing well. He's more at the high post from what I've seen. But it doesn't. The Warriors don't strike me as the type of team that's going to be like, "Hey, DeMarcus, go into the deep post and post up Al Horford." That's where I feel like Al would have an issue. But if you just want more mobility and agility to cover a big guy that can step out like Cousins, then I think Al's the better fit.
Yeah, I do too. And plus, he's had a lot of rest as of late. So I think you're going to see as fresh an Al Horford tonight as you've seen in a while. We'll squeeze in one more here. Craig and Quincy on the LeBron and Irving thawing. Hello, Craig.
I was wondering if you think that the thaw in their relationship and the revelations of Kyrie would indicate that he'd be someone who could be more willing to not be the top dog in a relationship. And also, I want you two to tweet your top 5 or 10 favorite Simpsons episodes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'll get to that. You know what? I'll have time on the plane flying down to Atlanta tomorrow. I will.
Well, I can tell you one right now. I mean, when Homer's the astronaut, and
In Rod We Trust.
In Rod We Trust, the inanimate cover. But also when he says the two sweetest words in the English language, default.
Yeah. Yep.
That's one of my favorites.
Last Exit to Springfield is one of mine. Okay, well, I don't want to go down this hole.
Okay.
The thawing. Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think one of the reasons that there has been a thawing is because Kyrie's come to the revelation that me wanting to be a leader and have to do like all the things that I found annoying about LeBron, now I've had to kind of act this way. It sucks. I don't want this. I don't want to be the guy. It's kind of a pain in the ass.
I feel the same way. He's like, this is not as much fun as I thought it would be.
Okay, no commercials here. We bid adieu to McBone. Tim McCone leaves on Sports Hub Headlines. We welcome in Sean Silver. Hello, Sean. He's going to get you caught up with the latest going on in the world of sports. And then we're going to turn our attention back to the Patriots going to their third straight Super Bowl. It's ridiculous, but true. We're going to talk about the Patriots, this upcoming matchup with the L.A. Rams, and get to more of your calls as it pertains to the Pats. And you still want to squeeze in some Celtics thoughts, you can do it too. It's 617-779-0985. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.